Tell people where you're from originally.
I'm from Newark, Delaware. So, yeah, I'm from Newark, Delaware. I was there till I was like 22. And then I went on this whole thing of like just trying to travel around everywhere, and I moved out to Yellowstone, and then I lived up in Alaska and Colorado, and I live here now. I've kind of like been all over for the past like 6 years.
What brought you here? What was it about New Orleans?
I was on a road trip, and I saw these people playing music on the street and just really fell in love with all the... There was just so much music here, and I didn't really know that I wanted to be involved in music totally. And then I came through here, and I'm like, I'm going to be a musician. And I went and bought a guitar and then started playing within like that year. But I lived other places and then came back down and lived in a van. That was my introduction to the city, was living in a van. So it was fun.
What year, like when you got here first and then when you came back?
What the first year? Time
I... About?
Well, first, I came here right after Katrina, and I was helping clean up. But I was like pretty young. And then I came back after I was 21 in 2015, I think, 2015. And then I came back in 2016 and have been living here off and on since then.
Tell me about those first weeks and months trying to survive here in New Orleans as... Well, musically, you know, in terms of breaking into the music scene here in New Orleans, tell me what that's about.
Well, I think when I first came down, I was really intimidated by it because I really wanted to do it, but I didn't have total like musical confidence in myself yet because I wasn't like really good at guitar yet. So I was just going to a lot of open mics and I was meeting people that way, but I didn't really start performing till like a few years into it. So the first few weeks I was really anxious, honestly. I was trying to convince myself to do it, so I got a ticket to Voodoo Fest because I was nervous I was gonna not come to New Orleans because I was scared. And yeah, so I like made myself come. And I didn't know anybody yet. And actually, like, the first... Well, I knew, like, three people, but I wasn't really totally on their level of life. So it was kind of weird. And then I ended up getting a job at a Krav Maga studio within a week of being here. Because I was like, I'm living in a van by myself. I don't know anybody yet. I feel like I need to... know that if someone tried to break into my van, I could like punch someone, you know? So, so I started doing martial arts for that reason, which got me in working at House of Blues, which was ended up being a motivation for me to get a band together. And yeah, it kind of just trailed together. And now, yeah, I've come a really long way. It feels really good. But the first few weeks were, I was just really nervous. I was super, super nervous. I didn't know what I was doing. I had like little to no confidence in myself and was just like, I'm here, I'm doing it, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's a heck of a jump, a leap in faith in terms of deciding to pitch a tent here, you know, in New Orleans, in a very competitive music scene. I'm still curious about what was it that appealed to New Orleans as opposed to, say, I don't know, New York or Chapel Hill or another music scene kind of town. Yeah.
I enjoy the freedom of the music scene down here. It's just kind of everywhere. You can't ignore it. And I feel like when I go to New York, if I don't know someone or if I don't have like a plan, I might not find the music scene as easily. But here it's just like in your face. all over the place. So it is, as far as like surrounding yourself with a culture to learn something, I felt like that was, if I wanted to learn music, I should come to a place where it's so freely expressed all over the place, and where I can't get away from it. Because I still get like a little like anxiety sometimes performing, because I'm still like newer. But then I walk out my door and someone's playing music and they're like, let's jam, come play music, come sing, and always down to do all these cool forms of expression. So it's, I think here, yeah, it's just the, it's just, you can't avoid it.
You describe your music? I know it's always hard to ask a musician that, but
it is, it's hard for me to answer sometimes, but I get told that I have a very bluesy voice, so as far as like, I don't know, some genre of blues, because I know I don't fit right into blues. It's interesting, like last time I went to Delaware, my mom found this New Orleans style blues jam in Delaware City that I had no idea existed, and it's at this little corner store. You wouldn't think that it would be anything there, really, but it was really cool. I went home last time and I actually like sat in on a like blues jam, so new doors have been opening in Delaware actually since I've started doing music. I feel like my whole life has changed since I've started doing music. But yeah, if I were to describe it, I would definitely say some kind of blues. And like, I don't know, I get also told like it's kind of gypsy-esque, but also folk because of my topic of writing as far as like being on the road kind of things. So yeah, gypsy, blues, folk.
And I can understand that, given that an acoustic guitar lends itself well to all three of those genres. Your voice is clearly capable of carrying all three genres. Did you have any musical training? I know you're relatively new on guitar, but musical training in terms of vocals?
Yeah, so when I was growing up, I went to church and I was in Catholic school also, so I was singing a lot for that purpose. So I was in choir and stuff from when I was really young. I stopped really performing throughout like high school and things until I came back in through New Orleans pretty much. I kind of fallen out of it and didn't get back into like pursuing it on my own.
Now the only thing that around me knows a soothing central in the only time he's on the drum. So mother, tell your children not to take the dime. Spend your life in sin and misery in the house of the rising sun. Like a wife of the oil of power, here lies on the train.
I play Apple Barrel once a week, every Friday, and otherwise nothing was totally regular, but I had gotten myself in playing House of Blues in the Voodoo Garden, and I had a show at Hi-Ho, and then there was another one, but it was like I had more gigs coming up than I had since being back, and then the weekend that it was all supposed to start happening, they were like, okay, actually, we're going to have to, like, postpone this, and I don't know what's going on. So it was kind of this weird, you know, all of a sudden, just, like, nothing. But for a little bit, I guess I would say I had about three to four a week. If I was sitting in with people, I had more. I had background sitting with my friend Matt, and it's Dwayne Bartles and the Boys. So yeah, different musical projects. We've been doing some rehearsals. We're recording on the 25th, so we're going to be doing a single called Messin', and then another one that for some reason Wildfires. So we're actually are going to be recording on the 25th. So that's exciting to actually have, you know, a set project, other than my own self-motivation to find something to do with my life right now. I also did have a job, so I am on unemployment right now, which is nice because I was nervous for a minute. But at the same time, though, like when all this started happening, I was doing these live videos and I was doing, you know, just kind of being like, I can help wherever you need me. And everyone was very open to helping me because so many people were out of work. And I've also been trying to like throw support to people monetarily as well when I can, like in the right situations and stuff. But I really was getting a lot of support even before I started getting unemployment. I was getting support from friends and family and people who believed in my music, and that felt really good. And it's also been an interesting change playing music for myself more. Since I'm not going out and playing for audiences, it's kind of brought back the feeling of self-care with music that I feel like I kind of was falling out of for a little bit when I started having a regular thing. Like when I was playing Apple Barrel, it's like I have to feel like performing between 3 and 6 every Friday. I would like make myself do it, and like now I just have all the time to do it whenever I want to, and it's bringing back that magic, would be the right word.
Yeah. And yeah, and certainly if you're able to refocus on creative efforts to, you know, in performance, songwriting, etc. If you can do that and not get distracted by every pandemic development on the news, yeah, it can be rewarding.
I'm not really sure as far as performance-wise, but I mean, I know everything's going to be at 25% capacity, but there's also going to be a balance of people who are like in a rush to get out and like really excited, and then the other people who are way too nervous to leave their house still. So I don't really know where that ratio is going to be. But I feel like there's going to be a lot of really good music being written right now. So we probably would expect a lot of new recordings and new projects and rebirths of music to come out of this. And I mean, in all kinds of art, because it's like you put an artist in a white room with their favorite medium and hopefully they use it, you know? And if they do, then they have all the time to use it.
Jillian Goods, under the handle Jillian K Music on Facebook. Jillian, thank you very much for taking some time to talk with us and perform for us.
Oh, for sure. Cool. Thank you. I know it. Sweet. Oh my God. I like your smiles. You're just like,